The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You want some bad news, Michael?
No.
What are you asking me?
You're the guru of the gray matter. I figured if anybody had it, you'd have the answer.
I can't give you any direction.
I think I'm going to have to change this channel. I'm sorry.
You're completely wrong.
I refuse to be wrong on two calls in a row.
Tell me I'm spot on or tell me I'm crazy as I'll get out.
I have no idea.
I have a six-month-old, so we'll be raising him according to Dr. Ray.
Talk about being a winner.
So, you want my question?
You ain't making any sense.
You're absolutely right. I just needed confirmation.
So what are you going to do about it, Dawn?
I'm calling you.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
That's it. I'm tired of putting out one book at a time. Trilogy. Trilogies are the new things now. You know, the Lord of the Rings trilogy, I mean, that's a masterpiece. So I want to model myself after that. I've got a trilogy coming out. First book is Humility for Fun and Profit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the second in the series is Advanced Humility. And the third is, well, it's a little bit of my autobiography, My Life of Meekness. It's my new trilogy. It's following up on the book that I wrote last year, The Three Most Humble People I Know, and How I Taught the Other Two. Please do not email me saying, you need to quit talking about your humility. Please don't do that, okay? If you can't see, well, of course you can't see. This is radio. My tongue planted way deep in my cheek. You ain't looking. Oh, anyway, well, thank you so very much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Wonderful, as always, to be with you. This is a major privilege. Hey, I want to thank the folks there in Iowa Catholic. I don't even know if they're running the program today because they're on their fall fundraiser. I had a chance to be with them this morning. One of the great local hosts, John Leonetti. He's tremendous. He's 100% Italian. And, of course, every once in a while he has me on the show, and I'm 100% Italian. I told him, I said, John, why don't I have a new show for Iowa Catholic right after yours? You're Italian, I'm Italian. We could just title it All Day Go, All Day. I can say that. I'm Italian. I can say that. All right, a couple of items of business here. I want to read this one. This is some great people, so let me get it here. Our Lady of Perpetual Help Radio, serving Essex Junction, Vermont, celebrating 7 years with EWTN. How wonderful. Congratulations. Donna McSorley and all the team there at WRXJ. You guys listening to me? Sure hope you at least run my program from all of us here at EWTN. Thank you so very much. And one more, well, a couple items of business. The one thing I want to say is, good Lord permitting, going up to Clarkston, Michigan, Right to Life Banquet on Thursday. That's tomorrow. Of course, if we're rerunning this program, if it happens to make the status of at least worst, Andrew, I'm just going to right now qualify it by saying, if this is a least worst program, ignore the fact that I dated it, and tomorrow I will not be at Deer Lake Banquet Center for the Right to Life Michigan, Right to Life in Clarkston, Michigan. But right now this is live, so I am planning on that. If you'd like to go, I don't know how they do the ticket thing, but you can probably just walk in and say, hey, I know the guy that's doing the speech or whatever. All right, got that. This is definitely one of my very, very favorite short stories. It conveys an exceptional lesson about life and our Lord's will. It's written by a guy named Max Lucado. Hey, he's Italian. All day, go all day. And I'm going to get some theme music from Bill Conti, Rocky, you know. Sylvester Stallone. Man, we'll just link it. I may even let Teresa Tomeo make a cameo. Another Italian word. Lucado's a Christian author, and he's very much on target about a whole lot of things. Once upon a time, there was an old woodcutter who lived in a tiny village. Although poor, he was envied by all, for he owned a beautiful white horse. Even the king coveted his treasure. A horse like this had never been seen before. Such was its splendor, its majesty, its strength. People offered fabulous prices for the steed, but the old woodcutter always refused. "This horse is not a horse to me. He is a friend. How could anyone sell a friend?" The man was poor, and his friends all urged him to sell, but the man never sold a horse. One morning, the woodcutter found that his horse was not in the stable. All the village came to see him and scolded him. "You old fool, you should have sold your horse. You could have gotten whatever price you wanted. No price would have been too high. Now the horse is gone, and all you can do is weep." The old man responded, "No, you go too far. Who knows if my loss of the horse is a blessing or a curse? Only God knows. No one is wise enough to know how this will turn out. Only God knows. So just bless his name and go on with your life." The people of the village laughed. They thought the woodcutter was a fool. If he wasn't, he would have sold the horse and lived off the money. After 15 days, the horse returned. He hadn't been stolen. He'd run away into the forest. And when he returned, he'd brought a dozen wild horses with him. Once again, the village people gathered around the woodcutter and spoke, "Oh man, you were right, and we were wrong. What we thought was a curse was actually a blessing. Please forgive us. You should be rejoicing." The old man replied, "Once again, you go too far. Say only that the horse is back and that he has brought 12 others with him. Who knows if this is a blessing or a curse? Only God knows. No one is wise enough to know how this will turn out. Only God knows. Just bless his name and go on with your life." The people said little, but deep down they knew the old woodcutter was wrong. 12 wild horses had returned with one horse. They knew this was a blessing. With a little work, the animals could be broken and trained and sold for much money. The old woodcutter had a son, his only son. The young man soon began to break the wild horses. After a few days, the lad fell from one of the horses and broke both legs. Once again, the villagers gathered around the old woodcutter and said, "You were right, and we were wrong. What we thought was a blessing was actually a curse. Please forgive us. You would be right to weep. Your only son has broken his legs, and now in your old age, you have no one to help you. Now you are poorer than ever." The old man replied, "Once again, you go too far. Say only that my son broke his legs. Who knows if this is a blessing or a curse? Only God knows. No one is wise enough to know how this will turn out. Only God knows. Just bless his name and go on with your life." It so happened that a few weeks later, the country engaged in a war against a neighboring country. All the young men of the village were required to join the army. Only the son of the old woodcutter was exempt because he was injured. Once again, the people gathered around the old man, crying and screaming because their sons had been taken. They would never see their sons again. "You were right, old man," they wept. "This proves your son's accident was a blessing. Your son's legs may be broken, but at least he is with you. Our sons are gone." The old woodcutter replied, "Once again, you go too far. Say only that your sons had to go to war while mine did not. Who knows if this is a blessing or a curse? Only God knows. No one is wise enough to know how this will turn out. Only God knows. Just bless his name and go on with your life." Proverbs 9 verse 10, Psalm 111 verse 10 both say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Apparently, the woodcutter had much to teach about wisdom. Wow. For me, what a smack upside the head. Who knows if that smack upside the head's a blessing or a curse? You can't know. You think something is terrible and awful? How many parents have told me they've had given birth to a very, very handicapped child or a birth with a child with Down syndrome, and they later tell me what a wonderful blessing it was in their life. This child is the center of their heart. And in the beginning, they were scared. They were nervous. What happened? Can I deal with this? I was 34 years old. I sat in a Queen Anne's chair in our living room, telling my wife, I'd just come back from Cleveland Clinic, where the doctor said, if you conceive children, get on TV and talk about it, because it'll be a miracle. This wasn't one of those things where, you know, you just got to relax. It's okay. A lot of times people don't think they can have kids, and then boom, 4 years later, they got a kid. No, no, no. My situation was very different. My wife and I shared some tears because my wife just wanted more than anything else to be a mother. Now, the culture would look at her like, oh, boy, are you stunting your emotional social growth? Not, she's not allowed to have her own choice, you know. Uh-uh. We are wide open. Diversity, that's right, except when you choose to have traditional morals and roles. So we figured, oh, boy, we were hoping so much to have children. Not going to happen. Well, what do we do now? Maybe we can adopt. We'll try. Even back then, it was getting tougher and tougher to adopt. Avenues were being closed and waits were getting longer. Oh, well, we'll see what we can do. 12 years later, we had 10 kids. What we thought was a curse, infertility, was a blessing. God gave us 10 kids. There was no way we could have had 10 kids at our ages. My wife was 29. Even if you go every other year, by the time she got to 40, we'd have 5. It'd be about it. That's if everything went well. What we thought was a curse was a blessing. You can't know. You just can't know. You're finding out you're going to have surgery, and you're thinking, oh, no, this is terrible. This is awful. But the surgery fixes you, and it fixes you beyond a way you ever thought. It's a blessing, but you didn't look at it that way. I guess what I'm saying is you can't know. You may think, but you can't know. Certainly, there are tragedies. Absolutely. No question. But much of what occurs to us that we think initially is a very bad thing turns out in the long run to have benefits we never saw coming. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents the full story of a hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Many of you thought, listening to this program, was a curse. But maybe it turned out to be a blessing. Or maybe more of you thought it was a blessing, and now you're thinking differently about it. I don't know. Got to take a poll. Just a couple more things here before we go to your calls. Quality programming. Faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. That's EWTN Television. Viewers can trust EWTN Television. Films, documentaries, news coverage, lively discussion shows, kids programs. Living Right with Dr. Ray. Okay, I just threw that in there. They didn't even put that in there. But we highlight the truth that is the eternal word. Want a complete schedule? Visit EWTN.com. Just click TV. I'll give you the whole schedule. And I don't think they'll put a picture of me next to Living Right with Dr. Ray. But I don't know. I'll just keep pushing on. How can I be happy in heaven, completely happy, if those I love so deeply are not there? Or if they are, I don't see them. Megan is from Buffalo. I, on the other hand, am from people. Hi, Megan.
Hi. So I'm just driving back from my aunt's funeral. She died about a week and a half ago, and I was just thinking while I was praying at her funeral mass, how do I even know she's in heaven? Because it sounded from how the priest was talking in the homily, like, oh, she's with her husband now who died a few years ago, and I just know that the church doesn't teach that we automatically go to heaven just because we are Catholic, so I want to know if there's any way that I can be sure that she's in heaven.
You want the short answer?
Yes.
No. Now, let me put some clothes on that. Have you noticed in funerals, most places, and I noticed this very heavily when I was in the evangelical world, everybody goes to heaven. That's it. They all go to heaven, no matter what. Universal salvation. We make the declaration for God. So you kind of picked up on that a little bit, didn't you?
Yeah, just the way the priest was talking about it during the homily. And it's nice and all, and her funeral card, it's comforting. It's a little poem type thing, and it looks really nice. But it's just, I don't really feel too assured. And I don't know how I would even know. And from what you're saying, it sounds like I can't know.
You can't. Because one thing here, Megan, that's pretty straightforward, is that I'm not God. I mean, he makes that judgment. Now, what do you do? Okay, the deeper question for you is, what do you do with the people you love? And I know there's a whole, but I'd say everybody listening to this program, all 205 of you, know people, some very, very close to you, that seem to be completely ignoring God, Christ, the faith, or they give it the slightest of lip service. That's it. It has no real impact on their lives whatsoever. And you're thinking, what will be their destination, right?
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things, and these are just answers I've heard from wiser folks than I. One, we trust in the mercy of God. He looks at everybody on the basis of what they knew, on the basis of how they were raised, on the basis of how they sought him, given whatever knowledge they might have had, however limited and imperfect. When I was in the evangelical world, it was very black and white. If you confess Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, you're in heaven. If you don't, you're not. Well, the Catholic Church doesn't teach that. Catholic Church teaches we will be held accountable for what we know. And what we know is very dependent upon the way we're wired, our experiences. You know, some little inner city kid who has never, ever heard anything about any kind of religion and is raised with nothing and joins the gangs and at age 13 dies. Oh boy, too bad, he's gone to hell. We don't believe in a God like that. The church says that's God's call. My son is 27. He loves the faith. He says to me always, Dad, I'm going to be judged harder than some of my friends. Because what he meant was, he knows. And if he turns from it, he's got a lot of knowledge that he's turning from. They don't. So that's one thing. Second thing is, obviously, Megan, if we're going to be completely happy in heaven, there's got to be a way that we will be completely happy even if our loved ones are not there. Got to be. The two got to go together. Maybe God expunges our memory of our loved ones. Or maybe we look at it completely like God looks at it, with justice and mercy, and we're not disturbed by it. We are of a different thinking order. For me, Megan, here's how I rest easier with it. I trust God's mercy. I trust that he takes everything into account for the people I love who have ignored him or live very immorally. And I also trust that somehow, some way, I can still be happy there, even if they're not there. I don't know what that way is, but obviously, the one thing we do know is that we are to be completely happy in heaven. And if we look around and go, where's my mom? I thought my mom might make it. She didn't. That's how I live with it, Megan.
Is there anything that I should say to my family members who sort of seem to assume that she's in heaven? Or should I just kind of be quiet and nod and think that in my own heart?
You could say something like, I certainly hope she is, but it's not my call, it's God's call.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Thank you. Take care. Okay, I'll be gone to your calls here just in a second, but I've only got about 40 seconds. 877-573-7825. Time goes really fast on this program. For me, it does. I don't know if it does for you, but for me, it does. Heading into a very, very, very busy October. It's probably the busiest October I've ever had in terms of travel. And there's one stretch there where I'm gone for like 11 out of 12 days, which is kind of crazy. We'll still figure out ways to bring you the TV show. Some of it will be down in Birmingham. Some of it will be up in Fargo, North Dakota. We'll find ways. 877-57-EQUAL, that's the number to call to get onto the program. Thank you for joining me.
How serious is our responsibility to participate in furthering the common good? Very serious. According to the Catholic Catechism, participation is the voluntary and generous engagement of a person in social interchange. This obligation is inherent in the dignity of the human person. Participation calls, first of all, for us to be conscientious in exercising our responsibility in areas where we are directly involved, our families, our children's education, and our work. As far as possible, the Catechism urges, we should take an active role in public life. This leads to the Catechism's conclusion that nations which allow the broadest possible citizen participation are the nations to be lauded. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
John 6, verses 48 to 58. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread," meaning me. "This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." At which the Jews disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They're scandalized by this. How is it that we're not? How is it that we just hear this and go, "Oh yeah, I know that passage"? They're just outraged and at least perplexed. Sane people, inspired teachers, wise men, prophets don't say things like this.
Doing a show full boring, full bore.
I mean to add that ing to that gerundive.
I was a kid when I was a kid. Ninth grade English class with Miss O'Connor. She was 22. All of us guys had a crush on her. Gerundive. I remember we were talking about that. I thought, man, they got a whole part of speech named after me. Is that cool or what? Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. Is it Winley? Winley? Is that correct?
Yes, Dr. Ray. Yes, you made my day.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. What's going on?
I have a 13-year-old daughter. Lately, she, for the last 2 years, she did not eat well in school. And she got into stealing and buying makeup stuff. And now we just changed the location, changed the district. And we received a CPS investigation about some open case regarding physical abuse, and there's an allegation against my husband, and also that she say to people that we are going to separation.
Winley? Are they investigating it right now?
They did. They make a meeting and they came down and at the end, it just last week the lady said that we be fine, but my daughter need help. But she talked to the counselor at the school and some teachers and created a story that my son and her being abandoned and. And right now, it's just like, it's just so hard that I don't know what to do because I want to know the truth because I keep on telling my daughter, you know, yes means yes, no means no, the truth will set you free because you say something that involves a lot of people and that is not the way that God teaches.
It sounds like you were saying before all these accusations, she was getting more out of control.
Yes, but it's not like this right now. Not like.
So you're saying that right now she's being more cooperative?
No, more like more rebel. I don't know what is the underlying cause, either hurting or want attention or rebel. I don't know. We don't know. But my husband really hurt when all this and then none of those happened.
Children's Services exonerated you. They said they don't have any evidence that that happened, and therefore they believe the daughter is making it up?
So when the Children Protective Service personnel come down, they talk to me and my husband, and then they spoke to my daughter separately and my son. And she asked for three people that know me, my husband and I, so that they can interview them and see how is the relationship, the parenting style and discipline. And finally, I follow up and she said the case closed, but with my daughter, with the school and counselor and teacher, with all this lying going on, we just don't know how to approach and help my daughter. I know she needs help.
Windley, what you're saying is that your daughter is getting more and more out of control.
In the way of make up the story and lying or creating the story.
Well, that, and it sounds like she's very rebellious.
So with your expertise, what we parents need to do?
Okay, if you were in my office, I would be asking you about how it got to this point. What has your discipline been like? What has your family structure been like? Do you and your husband agree with each other? Does one of you undercut the other? What all these things have to come into the picture. What does your daughter have in terms of social media, in terms of a cell phone, in terms of her peers? Who's she hanging with? What's going on? Where does she go to school? You got to try to figure out what this picture looks like. If we just look at your daughter and say, she needs help, something is wrong with her, that may not at all be true. She
Right,
could be...
Dr. Ray, all the questions that you just said, yes, it all happened. Because my husband have limited English, so language barrier, and we are not... communicate well, and also that we don't have a structure. You know, I'm have a panic attack and anxiety, so very much I'm the one that take care of them. My husband take care of like financial wise for 7 years now. I am not.
Windley, we got a couple of options here. One, I have a book called Standing Strong. Good discipline makes great teens. It is about 70 of the most common questions I get asked from parents when you have situations like yours, or even just normal situations where the parents are saying, I'm frustrated. It's on my website bookstore. Two, if you're going to get counseling, I would suggest that you get counseling for you and your husband if you can. I don't know the limits of his language expression, but to find out better how you can get things back under control in your home. If you put your 13-year-old in counseling, the reality is for 13-year-old behavior problem kids, counseling is very ineffective. It doesn't work very often. And the reason is, one, most of the time the kids don't want to go. Two, they don't see anything wrong with what they're doing. You are the bad guys. And if you would just change a whole lot of things, they would be just fine. So those are things to keep in mind. One of the saddest things I see, Windley, is this epidemic of these out-of-control teenagers. It's everywhere. There's many, many reasons for it. One of them is a wholesale loss of parental authority. Just gone. And so many kids, by the time they get to be 14, 15, 16, they're being shaped by the culture, they're being shaped by their peers, they're being shaped by the media. And as a result, they are just flat out rebellious. They view it as, you can't tell me what to do, and don't try. And then your daughter realizes, okay, I'm going to accuse my parents of something. That's what I'm going to do. That'll fix it. And you might want to tell your daughter, the next time she does that, they won't take her, they won't take you. They will take her and place her somewhere. It's Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. That is the number to call to get on to the program. I want to hear from you. Still got about 24 minutes, so plenty of time to take your calls. Welcome your comments, too. A lot of people call to comment. Those are helpful.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We're all going to suffer. No one is getting out of this life unscathed. Even if you're an agnostic or an atheist, everyone is going to suffer. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, as the Lord tells us in the New Testament. So what do we do with it? Do we just say, oh, I'm so glad that's over, and don't learn anything from it? Or do we say, okay, God, this was not fun? Or as St. Teresa of Avila, the great doctor of the church and my patron, said, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few, right? Like, really, Lord? Seriously? And that's okay if you express yourself that way, obviously with respect and love, but St. Teresa of Avila did it, and so many saints expressed their frustrations that way. But at the end of the day, they still came back to God and said, okay, Lord, this really stinks, but I know somehow at the end, I'm going to come through it, and you're going to show me what you want me to do with it.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Buddhism itself has a lot of different forms. There's no one type of Buddhism. When you get to Buddha himself, he was a complete agnostic and supposed to have been a very wealthy prince who had everything, but found that this was all hollow and empty, especially in the face of death. What he came up with as a basic principle is that the source of all suffering in life is having desires. So you need to free yourself of all desires, and then you won't suffer in this life anymore. This would be very different from Christianity, where we don't want to give up our desire for God. First, we do believe that there is one God. Second, we do believe that it's three persons in one God. And thirdly, that the goal of life is not emptiness, but is union with God and through Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Equal. I think one of the great tragedies of our culture is that more and more parents, even good parents, are facing an adversarial situation with their kid. This 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old is almost the behavioral enemy. I don't like your rules. I don't like the way you do things. I don't like the way you put limits on me. I don't like the way you're out of touch with the whole wave of the culture. And it breeds resentment, breeds resistance. This is interesting. There's two factors that are interweaving. One is the fact that the last 50 years, the experts have swamped parenting with their theories and their notions, and they have really overthrown a lot of traditional wisdom about the parent's role. They really have. And so many parents are nervous about asserting authority, and it begins when the kid's two, and it goes on for multiple years, and now the kid's 14. That's typically, I will tell you, when a parent comes in with a 14-year-old, they don't usually say, oh, I was a wonderful kid till 6 months ago. That can happen, but it's not the norm. They've been following a lot of theories that sound so nice on paper. They sound so kind. They sound so good. They sound so, can't we all just get along? Come on. I love you. You love me. That's the way it should always be. Yes, this is true. Your parenting is an umbrella of love. Absolutely. There's no question. You can't just have authority without love. You're in big trouble. But so much of the calm, confident authority is gone. Many parents look back a generation or two ago and say, man, oh man, I never would have done that to my parents. My dad had the look. They wonder where it's all gone. Yeah, that's one thing. But then the other factor is the incredible shaping power of what our kids confront. I saw a very unsettling statistic. I don't know how true it is. Seems to be somewhat legit. 15% of kids who go to college lose their faith. Now, some of them are not permanent, but I would venture to say the majority of it. Talk about shaping power. They were raised for 20 years a certain way, 18 years a certain way, and then a year or two of being told. I just saw a statistic. It was wild, wild. This is not a political statement, but this is a statement that indicates how someone may view things if, in fact, they are of a particular political persuasion. They did a survey of professors, and I didn't dig deep into the survey to know where and how many, but it was a lot. It was like 4,000 something. And had a list of, looked to be 20, 25 various majors, starting out with the social sciences, you know, psychology, sociology, history, etc. Pretty much the only one who had any kind of balance between political perspectives, and I think it's safe to say now, given the political parties, one political party is more in line. You may not agree with them, you may not like everything they do, but if you just look at their perspective, they're more in line with what traditional morality has been, or moral teaching regarding abortion, transgender, all those things. You got down to engineering. The engineering profs, I believe, were about 60% Democrat, 40% Republican. Above that, it was way into the 90s and 100s. So what do you expect? I mean, your kids get nothing but profs who see it a certain way. There's no diversity of thinking on the typical college campus. There's not. So your kids are going to hear all kinds of ways in college that you're out of touch. And they start hearing that when they're old enough to start hearing it from the culture, which is usually about 9. So that relentless bombardment of your parents are really, at the very least, out of touch. At the very worst, they're ruining your lives. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. So, okay, Dr. Reed, how do you combat it? Well, obviously, that's a complex question. And I talk about that in one of my books. However, you can't parent scared. You have to parent with your best judgment, even though you are out of sync with the culture. And if your kids go astray, it was because they went through you, not because you stepped aside or you cooperated with the culture. One more segment. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. Give me a call. You could still get on. I'm Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
Why do we experience spiritual desolation? In the ninth rule of St. Ignatius of Loyola's 14 Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, St. Ignatius offers three principal causes for why we experience the difficulty of spiritual desolation. He writes, the first is because we are tepid, slothful, or negligent in our spiritual exercises. And so through our faults, spiritual consolation withdraws from us. The second, to try us and see how much we are and how much we extend ourselves in his service and praise without so much payment of consolations and increased graces. The third, to give us true recognition and understanding so that we may interiorly feel that it is not ours to attain or maintain increased devotion, intense love, tears, or any other spiritual consolation. St. Ignatius teaches there is an answer to the question of why spiritual desolation.
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents the full story of a hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, I've not made this announcement. Pushing, one might say groveling. Because it was just reminded me, we got a caller from Real Presence in North Dakota, which I will get to in a second. October 23rd, 24th, we will be taping four shows, God willing. Living All Right with Dr. Ray in Fargo, North Dakota. How nice. Yeah, if you go to realpresenceradio.com/livingrightwithdrray, you can sign up to be in the audience for that EWTN program since season number 14. Guarantee you'll have fun. Bring the kids. We love kids in the audience. Absolutely. We love goldfish, stuffed animals, anything, wicker baskets, whatever you want to bring. Just fill up those seats. More people in the audience, the better. Love to have you. Got four shows, two each night. Would be 5:30 and 7:15. A lot of times what happens is the people who intend to come for only one at 5:30, they stay. They stay for the 7:15 because they had a lot of fun. And we feed you between shows. So those of you with the big families, it's worth your money. What the heck? You can make 30, 40 bucks just feeding your kid one time. Or your kids. Especially if you have teenage boys. Alrighty? So, hope to see you there. Alright, Real Presence. Speaking of Real Presence Radio, got an anonymous caller. Hi, Anonymous.
Yes. I just wanted to make a comment about a thought that I have. Parents find it necessary and questionably whether it really is necessary to drop children at daycare. I've been past some daycares and just wondered to myself, that's the foundation that our children have. And to then, as a child gets older, that they turn to, the parents turn to cell phones and stuff to accommodate the child. I just have a real problem with how many people actually find it necessary to send their children to daycare, period.
When you say necessary, do you mean because of the financial situation for many of them, that you have to have two people working? Or do you say necessary because they want a lot of the really, really good stuff and they don't want to sacrifice?
I'm thinking more the second, that that there's more of a feeling that way, that if you don't have the finest food, the name brand food and name brand Kleenex and toilet paper, whatever. That and I just I just hope that parents have a better understanding of how foundational that is. I live near a daycare, and I just, when I hear a child cry and the daycare provider yells at the child and all of a sudden it goes silent, and I'm thinking that there's six other tiny children that hear that, and I'm not picking on daycares. I think that some of them are very necessary, but anyway, that's just my comment.
Well, I think there's a couple levels to what you're saying. I think it's safe to say more likely those parents who are Christian and who welcome children as gifts of God and just decide they're not going to have 1.86 because the culture says that's all you're allowed to have, are more likely to sacrifice. They are more likely to say, we're going to have to do without because I want to stay home. I want to, okay. Especially during those critical years. The culture, on the other hand, is a very materialistic one. And if anything is new and better, we got to have it. So they don't see any moral issue. They don't see any family issue with saying, well, it takes two of us to work. Another problem, of course, is taxation. Back in the 40s, the average family paid about 2% of their income in taxation.
Okay.
Well, now, oh my, it varies, but it can be anywhere between 20 and 50% depending upon where you live.
Right. Yep.
So given that, they're saying, yeah, we got to have two of us just to make ends meet here.
Right,
I was picked up at the airport by a kid this last weekend. He's 26.
Uh-huh.
He said he has a one-bedroom, very tiny apartment, and it's $2,000 a month. He was grateful for it. He said, wow, that's cheap here in Southern California. I said, how do you do it? I said, you're driving a limo service. How do you do it? He says, oh, I have two jobs. Everybody I know has two jobs. You can't make ends meet without two jobs. So you see, what happens is what it does is it captures people and says, you must now live this way. And who suffers? The kids.
Yep.
And then
yep.
You're absolutely right. It begins early. The influence on those kids, wherever they are, whether it's daycare, whether it is preschool, wherever it is, may be good as far as it goes, but it's not mom, and it's not dad.
Yes. Yep.
So you're right. It begins, and this is a massive cultural shift. I don't have any answer for it, to tell you the truth. I think only when a bigger minority says, well, you know what, we don't want to do it that way. We don't want to do it that way. Seems more valuable. You bring up wonderful points. Thank you, my dear. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, I love when people call in with comments. You know why? Because I get to pontificate and say stuff. Now, when you say stuff like that, it's much more likely people are going to disagree with you. Why? Because you're commenting on society. You're commenting on, for example, that comment that I made about virtually all, like 95%+ by far, in all of the majors in colleges that were polled, are Democrat.
Dr. Ray, so what? So what?
Well, the so what is that as Christians and Catholics, we are to look at our perspective, our morals, in line with which is closer to the major political parties. That's all. Now, I know I say the majority of Catholics would call themselves Democrat or independent. I'm not getting into politics here. I'm just simply saying that's what they would say, even though that party is on the official record of saying we want to kill a baby to the point it's coming out of mom. Doesn't that shake anybody up? And then the nonsense of, well, that's one issue. You have to look at the whole cloth. Really? Really? Is killing a baby a big issue? If I were to say, anybody over 70, you do not get any government health support. That's it. You're using up too much of the resources. Not enough left for the younger people. If that's my political stance and I'm running for office, and you agree with me on every other single issue, would you vote for me if you're over 70? You wouldn't. You know it. So you are a single issue voter. It just depends on the issue. I got to go. Got fired up right before the end of the show. I got fired up. Woo-hoo. All right. Hey, thanks for the company. I appreciate it very, very much. I'm Dr. Ray Guarini. Website, drray.com. All 19 book titles are there if you're at all interested. They're signed and they are discounted. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, you, Eric. Thanks, you, for keeping me company. Appreciate it so much. Walk with God. Happiest walk you'll ever have.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit drray.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.